You ready? Let's do it.
And I was thinking the other day, every time I hear this song, I was that you said about did he like, you know, if he's gonna sue us or anything. I was gonna start mentioning the Sir Rock, just to throw that in there, just to see if he really would. I love Sir Rock.
A little bit of hashtag Sir Rock. It's good beer. Hilarious. It's expensive, but it's good. It's not too bad vodka.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah, it's real nice.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Final Play podcast. Apologies for last week, but we're gonna sort of try to smash them all out. At least for the NRL, we'll recap round 18 and then preview all of 19, and then we're gonna smash out, I guess, the rest of them. Two NFL ones and an NBA weird NBA round. Well, I guess round two of the finals.
I'm loving it. It's good now that the NBA sort of it's on TV every day, and it's good to sort of now you can catch the games they're on. If you're off, you can catch them in the morning. It's good.
Yeah, I think it's just weird because of the final four, but I am very glad. I mean, we'll talk about this when we talk about it later. That not many teams, well, I don't think any team has blamed the bubble for like not winning. Like they've just said, well, it was us, you know, we lost, that's it, we'll just wait till next year kind of thing.
I'm sure excuses are going to come out in between the off, you know, between now and the start of the next season, which who the hell knows when that's even going to start.
I think it's going to be very close.
So yeah, it's just going to be bedlam, free agency, draft.
Yeah, they're all gonna come in like real quick. They have to.
Yeah.
It'll be draft,
bang, bang, bang.
Free agent, and then the start of the season.
Then let's go.
They probably won't, just like the NFL, they probably won't do preseason games this season.
Probably not. They might do a bit of summer slash autumn league, and that's
yeah.
That's gonna be it.
But we're talking NRL. So recapping the round 18 or the wins. Rabbitohs beat the Tigers 26-24. The Seagulls beat the Bulldogs 32-20. It just wasn't a great win, but we'll talk about that another time.
I think that was Canterbury's game
to try
and get off the bottom. Yeah. But they actually did it in another game. But yeah.
Panthers beat the Eels 20-2. Raiders beat the Dragons 37-8. Titans just on fire. We'll talk about them in round 19. 18-6 over the Broncos. Roosters demolished the Knights 42-12. Storm, it was a good game to watch, but the Storm did beat the Cowboys 36-20. And Sharks beat the Warriors 22-14. Before we move on, anything stood out to you in round 18?
No, not really. I think sort of the only thing that I'd sort of took out of that was, yeah, like I said before, that was Canterbury's game to win against Manly to try and get themselves off the bottom of the ladder, but they've done that now anyway. And it's the first time in any incarnation of a Gold Coast professional rugby league team that they've beaten the Broncos twice in the one season.
Which, to be honest, I think it's fully deserved to Justin Holbrook for what he's done.
Well, you have a look at the ladder now after this round. The Gold Coast are, if this was a normal season, the Gold Coast are only 2 wins out of the 8.
They are.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable the way they're playing. I mean, the 8's locked, and that's just the way it's going to be.
That's right.
And, you know, their 4 and against wasn't great, but they're the kind of team that you go, you look at teams and you go, when they get that, they wouldn't want the season to finish. They would want to get straight into a new season because they're playing so well in form. Yeah. So,
four on the trot now.
And I think, and when we'll talk about that game soon too, there's certain players in that team that will probably get a call up. I believe they will get a call up to
AJ
Origin.
Brimson's going to be there.
That's probably the first name that I was thinking of.
My boy.
I mean, you kept talking him up the whole year, and it's coming to fruition.
I just seen what he did in limited games last year, and it was he looks really, really good. And you know, for him to sort of get injured at the end of last season, lingered on this season through our preseason, and they were really, really careful with him and didn't rush him back. And they've had some, Gold Coast have had some injuries in the back line all throughout this year.
Yeah.
Just about everybody has missed games through injury. You know, Don, Sammy, Brian Kelly, Copley, they've all missed games throughout this season.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Once they put AJ in at the back there, they've just been electric.
The Thursday game was the first game. The Bulldogs getting off the bottom of the ladder, beating the Rabbitohs 26-16. For the Bulldogs, I mean, yeah, it was upset aside. It was just the team that they sort of started to be once they fired the coach. Like, it wasn't, no one sort of really stood out to me as much, but it was like they all played together.
No, and I think that's sort of what George Arliss is preaching there. You know, they know that they don't have the greatest collection of talent there, but it's just doing the fundamentals right. You know, not giving away cheap ball, and it's coming along really well. Not so much really well for them, but do you know what I mean? Like, you know, how they've got their few wins this year has been on the back of a high completion rate. And that was the formula again. It's also, you know, that they've had a high completion rate in losses, but they just haven't had, you know, the attacking flair to get over the line. And they actually, to start this game, they dominated this game to start.
They did dominate the game. And I think it was on the back of the first time since he has played this year, since that scandal up at Port Macquarie, but Jaden Oakenbur.
Ockenbaugh was
I didn't think he was going to play personally this year.
I think he tried a little too hard last week against Manly. He just tried to use his bulk and power to get over the line. I think he had four shots at trying to get over the line. He eventually got over. But this week, it just looks like he sort of settled in a little bit better. I thought, you know, that they scrambled. The scramble D for Canterbury was excellent, you know, because you know that the attacking weapons are what Souths have got, and their scramble defense was excellent.
Did you like Jake Averillo at 5'8 in replace of Foran? Not that they really had a choice, but did you like the way he played?
No, not really. That's, I mean, they have Wakeham come off the bench as well, so that's all they can do at the moment, really. You know, Lachlan Lewis has sort of been in and out of the side. You know, he got absolutely poleaxed by Jaden Sewer in that game, and Sewer got sent for 10.
Yeah.
And you look at it in full speed, and it's one of those ones again, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago with the Chad Townsend, you know, flying elbow, you know, flying shoulder on Kalen Ponga.
Yeah.
Lewis, you just see slip that little bit. I don't think there was a whole lot of intent to sort of wrap the arm around, even though his sort of arm was away from the body. So not your traditional type shoulder charge. But to be sent for 10 in the bin, I thought was a little excessive. And that essentially got the Bulldogs on the front foot.
I guess it's sort of they've set the precedent now of what they did, like you said, with Ponga. And they probably just have to keep following
it. It's just the optics of it. You know what I mean? If that doesn't go so horribly wrong, you know, and it's just a normal shoulder charge and it's a bit of body contact and you know, they get up a bit groggy or whatever, you simply don't get sent for 10. But because Lewis had slipped just that tiny little bit and he's collected him a little high, the optics of it were shocking. But it just didn't deserve 10 in the bin.
On the other side with the Rabbitohs, I mean, you know, they will make the finals. They'll finish 7th or 8th, possibly. What do you think happened to them in the game? For me, it looked like their backs had no go for it. The forwards, except for Tommy Burgess, did their job, but I just think there was not enough spark in the back line.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that they and surely Wayne Bennett would have preached this to him all week, is to not take Canterbury lightly. And once the Bulldogs had the jump on him, they had the jump on him good and proper, and it just it was too hard for him to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I suppose it just I don't think they're going to make noise in the finals. It's just that loss to me just doesn't bode well for them.
Souths have been playing really good lately, and then all of a sudden they dish up this, which was just it coming into the finals. You know, we get it. There's been no breaks or anything like that. It was just one of those games where they'd come in and nothing was working for them at all.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think this week they don't have to win. I mean, that's probably the beauty of where they're sort of sitting at the moment. But I mean, to me, I think they have to win just for pure confidence alone, just to come into the finals. So
I think so. Well, I think Damien Cook said it on NRL 360. There was it last night or the night before. Apparently, Wayne Bennett just walked into the dressing sheds after and just like, righto, got nothing to say. See you training on Monday.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, they could technically win, because it's hard to say. I mean, they're playing against the Roosters side, but Roosters are resting a few players.
A very contentious point.
Wow.
I
tell you what, I mean, I wish they didn't rest Tedesco last week, because that's what lost me the friggin' fantasy semi-final. I had no option of putting someone there. If he was rested and I was gone. I only lost by 10. If he was there, I would have blown it out by 100. But anyway,
I'm sorry. Like you did to me in the quarterfinal.
Yeah, basically. Well, if you look, you would have been fine. the next game was Penrith Panthers beating the Cowboys 32-12. That was the first Friday night game. Look, Panthers, I've probably said it all year, but they are literally the real deal. I know it's the Cowboys, but they're just clinical. Which I haven't seen.
They bashed North Queensland out of this game from the get-go, and even though they didn't have Appy Coruscant or James Tarmo, they just kick out, just terrorised North Queensland.
Yeah,
like, it was after Clifford. Clifford just looked like a big bit of pizza, and he was real real hungry. Oh my god,
pizza! That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, he pulled out nearly 200 metres, 180 metres, which is pretty rare for a second row, really, when you sort of think about it. So
Have a look at the size of him.
Well, I get that, but it's still pretty rare for it. Cleary was, again, phenomenal in that game. I was thinking with him, I mean, he's going to be the New South Wales halfback. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But the way Cherry Evans is playing this year, he is the incumbent captain, but does he deserve to be there in the Australian side?
There's going to be no test at the end of the year anyway, but I'd say that the halves pairing would be Keary and Cleary.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that it's a weird. I mean, if there was a test, it'd be interesting to see how they do that, because
It would be hard to leave Munster out. Like, I think that would be a really dangerous halves pairing in Cleary and Munster. But I think, you know, purely for a bit of continuity, have Munster, I don't know, you play him as a utility or something like that.
Well, I'd see Keary as a utility more. I think he could play on the dummy half a little bit, Keary. Yeah. He could play on the 14. But it's funny, like, just when I sort of the way he's been playing, and I'm thinking, can you actually dump a captain of an Australian side if they were having a game of this year? Can you dump an Australian captain? Because he's not playing well. Yeah. He's not playing, and it's probably no fault of his home, man.
His team's not playing well. That's, I think, right. Cherry Evans has been
admirable.
He's been inconsistent. Like, he's had really good games, but he's just got no help.
Right, and he's lost help, and we'll talk about that soon. So he's lost probably the best help they've had the last couple of years. On the back of a loss, it looks like Valentine Holmes is getting back to what Valentine Holmes used to do for the Sharks. I mean, he's still a long way off, don't get me wrong, but he's getting back better.
Yeah, it's taken an injury layoff, and you know, 18 weeks for Val to, well, not 18 weeks, but, you know, he's looking better and better, you know, as the weeks go on.
I think that injury helped him personally, because like you
said, he had the first game that he had after the injury, they put him out on the wing. But as soon as he's gone, since he's gone back to fullback and they've put Tabuai Fadeau out on the wing, he's getting better. He's looking better. He's looking more confident.
I also think after that injury, he lost that NFL weight too. Personally, yeah, looks like an NRL player now.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Even though it was an ankle injury, but yeah, he still looked very thick in the legs.
Yeah, wow.
So that might have helped him sort of tone down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. That's well. I think it did. I think it actually did help him. It kind of.
It was a real niggly game as well. Like there was a lot. I think there was a lot of garbage in the play the ball in that game. And I don't think, like, North Queensland didn't really want to take, you know, a backward step to the ladder leaders. Like, that, yeah, they were giving them a lot. Jerome wow. Luai was given a lot in the play of the ball. Josh Mansell was given a lot in the play of the ball. And North Queensland were getting up, you know, players like Kyle Feld. They were getting him, Josh McGuire. Like, they were getting up and getting back in the Panthers' face. And all well and good. It was a 20-point loss. But they weren't going to take a back step to them at all.
I mean,
there was a lot of push and shove that was going on. I just think, yeah, North Queensland, they weren't going to be pushed around a lot. And like I said, you know, okay, it's a 20-point win, but that, yeah, they weren't going to take a backward step to Penrith at all.
And that's why I think they had a better second half, because they got blown out in that first half, and I thought it was going to be a cricket score after 20-0, but that's right.
20-0 in the half, and it should have been more. Like, North Queensland just kept giving and gifting possession,
yeah,
to Penrith, and they made them pay pretty much every time. They were down inside the Cowboys red zone. Like, the first half they were blasted, and yeah, second half they actually looked, you know, like a competent football team.
Well, and on the back of that, like, defense has always been their problem this year, but again, on that second half breakdown, they got a bit more consistent with, I guess, effective tackles or tackles made, instead of, like, it was a blowout at the start, and then they clawed it back to 87.6% effective tackles. So
but it's the same thing too. If you're gifting possession away, you can't do it. Like, you can't make mistakes in your own end. You simply can't do it. And against a, you know, just a red hot Penrith team at the moment, you just can't give away cheap possession. And the way that the North Queensland has been defending this year, like, you're going to be, like I said, you know, they were 20 in the hole at halftime, and it's just too hard to fight back.
Yeah, that's right. But that, I mean, especially against a dominant Penrith side, they, it would have been too hard to fight back regardless. So,
well, missing players, like, it's, you yeah. know, they, the Naden try was good down the right hand side. You know, Crichton was unbelievable again. Like, they've just got class all around.
It's just been very interesting now, they're coming into the finals, or when they start the finals, how they're going to go against the top four. Well, let's just say the top two teams, Melbourne and the Roosters, because we know they could beat the Eels, and I just want to see how they're going to play in finals footy against those two top teams. So, and I'd say by the looks of it, it'll be, well, they'll probably end up playing the Eels, I would say.
If yeah, well, that'll be 1v4. So
yeah,
you know, so. the 20 points to two a couple of weeks ago was, they weren't super impressive, but you know that's once again, it was just one of those games where they didn't play their best, but they got the job done.
Next game was the other Friday game, the Eels beating the luckless Broncos 26-12. Fifita got injured in that game too against Junior Polo.
Yeah, and he was.
What did you think of that tackle?
He was put on report for that, and he did. He literally did nothing. He was underneath Fifita, and he got bent over the top of Junior Polo. Like for him to be put on report for that is ridiculous. And I couldn't understand the call of him being put on report when he's making a tackle and he gets bent over the top and his ankle gets caught underneath him. Like, what the hell is he meant to do? That's such a blunder by the referees. Yeah. They're making some awful calls. And if you go back to, circle back to the Canterbury game, Jackson, who's the kid out on the wing there? Jackson Paulo.
Paulo, yeah.
The try there was a monumental screw up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, the touch judges are so, they're so not confident in their eyeballs. they could still be a meter inside the touchline, and they'll say to the referee, "Oh, geez, better check the touchline, like just to make sure." He was so close to the touchline, and they just went, "No, I'm confident that he was in." And they showed the replay, and his tags hit the chalk before he put the ball down.
I mean, you have a bunker there for a reason. I mean, they use it for the most mundane things, so
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even Brad Arthur said it. There was no sort of case answer. So, yeah, exactly. There was no warrant to be on report. But, I mean, aside that, they played, Eels played well against the Broncos. I mean, the biggest star for me in that game was Clint Gutherson. That guy's he's gonna be so unlucky not to make a New South Wales. So he's possible he can.
I don't think he's going to make it.
I don't think he can either, which is going to be poor. But I mean, it's just where he is at the moment.
No,
it's
that's
just, right. It's he's played so well this year. I think he's been one of the most improved players this year, personally.
He's been one of the driving forces behind Parramatta, sort of playing the way that they are. So yeah, they sort of ride on the back of his, his enthusiasm. Mm. He's the guy that's trying to G everybody up. There's once again, the Broncos sort of show flashes of competency, and then other times they're just unbelievably.
They got no ball. That was the thing. Like they had no possession. In a 40% possession, you're not going to win a game with that.
Parramatta just ground them out of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. I mean, that's how I took the assumption of the Broncos. They just sort of. They show flashes, but I mean, it is what it is. I think they are going to finish Wooden Spoon this year, which is going to be amazing to see. But God, I don't think they have a choice. I think they have to finish Wooden Spoon this year.
Well, they've got North Point, they've got the Cowboys down in Brisbane, so there's always feeling, that they're going to have an extra little bit of sense of urgency in that game. So it could be just an absolute disaster, or it could be a really good game between two, poor teams.
Well, good point. Yeah.
That game on Thursday night could be absolutely anything.
What happened? I must admit, did anything happen to Tyson Gamble, the 5'8"?
He got smoked in the first set of six.
Yeah, he was going off in a minute. I must have missed what happened. Yeah,
The first set of six, he got drilled.
And that was it. He was gone. That was it. Yeah.
He was gone. Oh yeah, he was a very very sick young man when he got up. I can't remember who hit him. I didn't write it down. I just seen him. He had the wobbly boot on a little bit, and it was just like right. It was like in the first 90 seconds. It was the Broncos' first set of six attack. And his night was over.
Well, Xavier Coates come on. It looked like I think Boyd sort of moved into that second receiver sort of position. I mean,
and he's done okay. In attacking sets.
Yeah.
Boyd, coming into that sort of second slash third receiver, as fullback, like he's not as if he's super out of position, but it just it definitely limited them. Attacking wise,
it was an interesting fact with him. I noticed someone brought up that he's going to retire as the most capped Australian player not to lose a game. I think it was like it's a blowout. So it was like 33 or something.
I thought it was 26 tests without a loss.
26, but then the next closest is like 11 or 12.
It's crazy.
So that's Darius Boyd to me. Like look at how consistent he was for Maroons.
No, it's
every
right.
time he played for the Maroons and they moved into wing, you just knew he won them the game a lot of games. He is Mr. Consistent. Well, he was Mr. Consistent. Not anymore.
No, I wouldn't say not anymore, but you know, he has looked a little better as this season. Like, you know, he sort of had a bit of a lull throughout the middle of the season where it just looked like he was out there to collect a paycheck, and there was something. Yeah, there was on the odd occasion where he just got beaten so badly at fullback that he just sometimes just looked disinterested. But he's gotten better. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah. he's I think he's sort of started to realize now that, oh hey, I've only got a couple of more games left, you know, in my rugby league career. So he sort of started to step up a little bit now, but unfortunately it's too little too late.
Too little too late, that's right. Next game was the first Saturday game. The Titans just owning Manly 42-24. And I mean absolutely owning them. It was a fun game to watch. I did not see
42 points coming out.
I did not see that. I was like I was camping actually. And I was looking at and I was actually well. Cheekily, I was doing Quinellas on the side for sports bet, but that's a whole different story. For horses, and I was cleaning up too, but that's a different story. And I was like, we were looking at it, and then I was like looking at the sports bet, and then I was looking back, and the score kept going up and up, and I'm, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, what is happening here? Especially after Manly come out again, and they've had the knack of doing it, like scoring off their first set.
Yeah, they do.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah, they do.
A Gold Coast side 7 or 8 weeks ago, that would have almost shot them straight up. Mm-hmm. But they're playing with so much confidence, and they're playing so well at the moment that early try to Gajewski, it just didn't faze them at all.
No, that's right. No, it didn't faze them. And in saying that, you mentioned it before. I should say, Cherry Evans, he played well in that game too. He has been pretty consistent this year, so you know I have to sort of give him props considering how terrible Manly. Well, not terrible. I mean, I suppose they're gonna, they're not gonna finish. Well, I suppose. I mean, last year they finished third, didn't they? So they are way below.
No, they've definitely underachieved, and like we said, you know, every team has dealt with injury this year, but no more like sort of key injuries that have hit a team really hard. Than Manly,
and honestly, I still can't fathom why they played Tom Dvorovic. I know he only played 60 minutes, but if I was him, it's going to be up to him. They reckon he's going to be fit. I do not see why he needs to play Origin.
That's exactly why they played him. They're trying to get some minutes under his belt, so he's not going to be so out of sync and out of touch for Origin. The problem is Manly aren't making the finals. So he has these – if he was going to play these two games, and obviously he was hurt, he's done a shoulder, but if he had have gotten through these two games, he's still going to have 5 weeks off after it anyway. So what is the point?
I guess the point is just to get some minutes in the legs, but the way this season's been, I don't see the point of him doing it. I mean, look at Michael Morgan. He's opted out. I mean, he would have been a shoo-in, so that's great. I think he's done well. He's looking after his body, so
yeah, he's just like, right, I'm going to focus on getting the body right, and I'm focusing on the new coach coming in next year. I'm focusing on the Cowboys, and then representative duties will come as the season goes on, and will come with being on the field and being healthy.
And the reason I segued that, or I want to segue that into AJ Brimson, just how brilliant he was again in that game. And that's these couple of players out, impossible, like they are very thin Maroons in the back line. I cannot not see him playing. I mean, he's going to be on the wing, but he's going to play, I think.
He's going to be there. Crazy. I think it could be a wing pairing of him and Philip Sammy.
That's interesting. I haven't really thought of Sammy.
No, it's the thing. I think Kyle Feld has ruled himself out. And going back to sort of the start of the year, I thought Kyle Feld's, what is he, second or third leading try scorer this year?
Kyle Feld probably deserved to be there.
He absolutely deserves to be there, but he can have some. Not he's more diamonds than what he is rocks. You know, he's not Manu Vatavai sort of, you know, rocks and diamonds. Like he had some rocks in him, big Manu. But, you know, Caulfield on the odd occasion, like, you know, in that game, you know, the game this week against Penrith, he gave away a shocking penalty try that wasn't going to be anything other than a penalty try as he sort of tried to run around. I think it was Crichton. And just flops all over and just pulls his jersey and just pulls him over. It's just like, no, that's such a brain fart. You do that in Origin, yeah, and this is a nothing game. You do that in Origin, you'll never play Origin again.
No, well, that's right. Mike, I guess the reason I don't see Semi because you've still got Ponga and you've still got Valentine Holmes will probably sneak in there somehow.
No, well, see, I think Val is going to opt out as well.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, well, what about Xavier Coates as well?
Val and Michael Morgan have all said that they're not going to play this year. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure that I've seen that Valentine Holmes as well has come out and said that he's out this year for Queensland, which is very unfortunate.
Well, Moses and Bias pulled out too,
that's another one. And Bias pulled out. There's
although you got Xavier Coates will probably get in the centres, I suppose. But yeah, you're right. The semi's probably there's right. It keeps getting thinner and thinner. He's probably a chance now that I think about it. So.
I think he's a real sneaky chance.
But yeah, he was absolutely brilliant in that game. Like just not the 200 meters, but he looked and not just the tries. He just looked devastating every time he had the ball. He looked like one of those ball running 5'8" where you didn't know. Not that he's got a kick on him, but like we don't know if he's going to kick or not. But he's got pace to burn. So he's you called it at the start of the year. You said how much you liked him, and I love him.
I just seen what he did in limited time last year, and it's just like this kid's got he's got something.
Yeah.
He's just got something that's injury sort of lingered over from the off season and into this year, and that's something they were being super careful. You know, the Gold Coast being super careful with him, not rushing him back. Obviously, you know, the very poor start to the season that they had would pretty much shot them for finals. But when they brought him back, they have just looked a totally different team.
And I think, and on the back of that, I think Holbrook loves him too. I mean, that was one of the first signings for Holbrook when they extended him last year through to 2022. He said, like, he wanted, you know, to retain a few players, and they upgraded him pretty healthily. So... clearly they must see something in each other. So they were great. Yeah, that they, I like you said, or like I sort of said, that, you know, the season had 5 or 6 more weeks. It's every chance they would have made the 8 because they were just on that hot form. And teams like the Rabbitohs and Sharks probably don't deserve to be there, but, you know, they did play well at the start of the year, I suppose.
Yeah.
Next game was the Tigers and Storm. Storm doing what Storm do. I'm laughing because of how they're going to be this week, but they finished. Yeah, they won 50-22.
I think sort of Craig Bellamy would be a little bit dirty on the 22 points that they let in, but the 50 points that Melbourne put on were it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. There wasn't sort of much. It's funny. Like, I mean, scoreline aside, there wasn't much that. It was just, it was clinical and everything, but it just wasn't much to talk about in the game because I'd never seen Tigers winning from the very start, from the very, very start.
No, and it's, I mean, you go back to last week, you never saw North Queensland beating Melbourne last week either, but they actually, North Queensland showed a little bit of fight against Melbourne, whereas West just didn't look like, like you said, didn't look like getting any sort of win. Just troubling Melbourne. Yeah. I think that was more the point I'm trying to get at. They didn't look like they were going to trouble Melbourne at all.
I thought, I think I was just going off NBA rules. I was thinking, why is Harry Grant playing? Like, shouldn't he, if he's a lone player, like NBA, where you can't play? No, this is the Premier League, where you can't, if you're on loan to a team, you can't play against your team or parent team, club team.
Well, they've done it this year. They've done it this year in the NRL with George Jennings and Danny Alvaro that were loaned out to New Zealand from Penrith. And when the Warriors played, from Parramatta.
Yeah.
When they played them, they didn't play in those games.
Wow, yeah. Well, I just didn't expect him to be there. He had a pretty good game. I just was shocked that he was there. So Tigers, talking about teams that have to blow up next year, they have to really blow up. I still don't think they know what they want to do, personally.
They've signed James Tarmo, which is great. Super. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows whether they're going to keep Harry Grant. You know, that all hinges on Cameron Smith and his decision. I don't know what you think about that. Should it be forced into a decision, like, you know, but he's earned the right to do what he's doing, but he really needs to make a decision soon.
He needs to make a decision soon. I agree. I don't know if he's waiting until the finals or after the finals. And like, I don't want them to lose great players, Brandon Smith and Harry Grant, but honestly, on the flip side, he's having one of his best years he's had in years. Like, he's having a great season.
Watch out, because the Gold Coast are coming sniffing around Brandon Smith. You don't want to lose him.
Well, I've even heard, like, they were sniffing around Cameron Smith. Yeah. Like, getting Cameron Smith.
That's the thing. That's not what the Gold Coast needs.
Not
what they need.
No, that's right.
They need to be investing in the future, not for the here and now.
Look, if they win the grand final, I mean, if he's going to leave it that long, if they win the grand final, I could see him retiring. I mean, I guess if they don't, I don't know, because he's played well this year. But then I think he's smart enough not to, like, for Melbourne not to, like, say, well, you know, for them to let go of two quality hookers. It's funny how his decision rides what those two are going to do. It's pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not funny. It's interesting. It's very interesting. I think he'll retire, but I don't know if he. I mean, why delay it if he's going to retire?
I honestly don't think he knows.
Yeah, yeah.
If they win a premiership, if Melbourne wins a premiership, he'll ride off into the sunset. It's fair for him because he's earned the right, but it's not fair on the other guys and the organization, like the Storm organization.
Well, that's
they need to be looking towards the future. So
The other guys, it's not fair on, and that's just part of their, they have to wait because that's part of their contract, but it's not fair on the organization. Like, they, you know, this, or for him, like, if he wants to stick around later, or it's just, yeah, it's not really fair on the organization.
No,
at all.
But like they say, you know, has he earned the right to do that? And absolutely he has.
100%.
But it's just it's a unique circumstance. You know, if there wasn't anything riding on the line with, you know, with two super young, talented players on the team,
and this loan deal,
you know, if Harry Grant can stay at the West Tigers, if, you know, Cameron Smith plays on, Brandon Smith doesn't want to, you know, keep coming off the bench. He wants the number nine jumper. So it's just, It's such a unique circumstance.
Well, we probably wouldn't be talking about this if, one, he didn't get injured, so Brandon Smith played, and two, Harry Grant wasn't allowed to go on loan. We probably wouldn't be talking about this at all. Because we didn't see how great, we always knew Brandon Smith was okay, but how great Harry Grant was playing. So,
exactly.
I honestly, I don't know what he wants to do. I don't know if he wants to coach or what he wants to do. Really? No. I don't know if he wants to keep playing.
He's going to have to. His mind will be made up at the end of the season if they win a premiership. Like, that's going to be.
Yeah, but my thing is, if they don't.
If they don't win a premiership, then he's going to have to make his mind up very, very quickly.
Oh, he's got. I mean, it's over 400 games. Like, come on.
No, that's right. And that's the thing. And that's a testament to him, because that's going to be. Like, records are made to be broken, but. That's going to be a tough record for somebody to knock off, playing 400 NRL games. You know, there's been plenty of guys in the Super League that have played 400 games. You know, they get to play a lot more with the Challenge Cup and stuff like that as well. So they, yeah, they're playing 30, sometimes 33, 34 games in a season over there, you know, with finals, with Challenge Cup. So it's a little bit easier for them to sort of rack up 400 if they've got that little bit of longevity. Guys like Danny Peacock and, you know, if James Graham had stayed over there, then he would have got 400 first grade games in the Super League. I think he's already. I think yeah. he may have played 400 first grade games with the amount that he's played here, and you know, and what he played for with St Helens. But you know, just purely based on what Cameron Smith has done here, it's just it, you know, he's an Iron Man.
And So I think it's, to me, it breaks down like this. It's exactly what you said. If they win the final, I think he'll ride off on the sunset. If they don't, I don't even think he'll play for Melbourne, but I just think, like, the lure of playing a 20th season in the NRL, the way he's still playing, he wants to be one club player and, yeah, retire there. I just think he wants – it's every chance he can move back to Queensland.
Well, I don't think – you know, and people say, oh, they don't want his legacy stained by, you know, playing for another team. But it just – I really don't think it doesn't stain his legacy at all.
I don't think at all. I think it'll be just built around that it's his 20th. And he might come out and say – see, that would be interesting if he comes out and say, yeah, I'll retire next year with my 20th season – wherever I'm going to play, like I'm going to play for Titans for 1 year, which kind of, yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't like the Broncos. I would say it'd be Brisbane. And
you would what's
he going to be able to free and do for the Broncos? They don't have a CEO or a head coach at the moment. Like they're a tire fire at the moment.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Well, we'll keep moving on. The next game, last Saturday game, was the Roosters beating the Sharks 34-18. Unfortunately, Sean Johnson, I guess, looks like he's teared his Achilles.
It's a ruptured Achilles. So that's, man, that's unfortunate for them.
No, I mean, Achilles, of every NRL injury I've seen, Achilles just seems so hard to come back.
Most sports. 12 months minimum.
Yeah, but then even when they come back, it's not every guarantee it's going to work. It's going to be better again.
No, that's right.
Who is that Broncos player that was like on the cusp for Australia? Can't remember. And he tore his Achilles and he came back and he just wasn't the same again. It was a winger. I can't remember. They were like talking him up like Takiri and all that. Like, oh man, I can't remember his name, but I just remember he came back and he just wasn't the same again. Or I think he didn't even come back and he just retired because he kept.
You're not talking about Jarrell Yao Yee.
Yes, that's who I'm thinking of.
That wasn't a torn Achilles. He smashed his leg to pieces.
Oh, was it? I thought it was an Achilles.
Yeah, it wasn't a torn Achilles. His leg just got destroyed. Like he had to learn how to walk again.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, it was
Yao Yee. I think Yao Yee might have even played a test or two for Australia.
What, before?
Yeah.
Yeah, that. But what? Oh, okay. So
he played Origin, but I think he might. I think he might have. Yeah. He was touted as a, you know, as a future, you know, a future stalwart there for Queensland and Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like he's talking how good he was, like Takiri and everything. So
yeah, I don't think I don't think he was as big, like, you know, as tall as Wendell or Lottie was, but he was a big bodied winger.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was a very big bodied winger. With this game, it was pretty evident the way it was going, I suppose. Like I was very shocked at the end that Sharks had more possession. That was a bit weird, 56%. Not that they could do anything with the ball, but they just, their completion rate let them down. Like, possession aside, their completion rate let them down.
Once you start getting into the hole against good teams, you make it so hard for yourself to come back. That game couldn't have started off, you know, any more perfect with Mitch Orbison scoring the first try and him being the, you know, the all-time leader in games played for the Roosters, so for him, yeah, it was only appropriate that he scored first, and it looked like he was in line for a hat trick. You know, he scored a double.
He had a great game.
Yeah, he had a super game.
I tried not to look at it, but classic NRL.com, I'm not sure who they're affiliated, but they had a little 4 minutes 11 video of every touch from SB. Yeah, it's
stop.
I just like, come on, like, I don't get it. Yeah, I mean, he played okay. He did pretty good, you know, 48 minutes, 107 meters. It's just not that at the point. They're brilliant without him. They really are. They had Tedesco out, but Manu played pretty good at the back.
Yeah, he looked pretty good at fullback.
Yeah. So, you know, they're 1-17, really. Just it's scary because there's every chance they could win the title again. Every chance they could win the title.
Oh yeah,
again.
Absolutely. Oh, I don't think I can handle a Roosters three-peat. I really don't.
I don't think I can handle it, but I mean, the only reason they deserve it is just how well those Morris brothers played this whole year.
No, and once again, they're a team that right at the start of the start of the restart, that they got decimated with injuries.
Oh yeah, well they had Boyd Cordner is sort of there, Cordner's not there. Orbison was injured.
Yeah, Orbison. Daniel Tupou was hurt. You know, Kiri's missed games.
I don't know if he's Western for the finals or not. I hear he's okay to play.
Yeah, but repeated concussions is just not something that's to be sort of trifled with,
mate,
in this sort of current environment of head knocks and concussions and the way that the protocols are. It's just not something to be messed with. And you'd hate to see somebody retire, just been taking too many head knocks.
Especially when, I mean, not the greatest aside, but, you know, that week he attended his cousin's funeral. So,
no, that's right. And he was, he was super emotional. And the thing that I didn't like about that too was Fox Sports, like, you know, you could see the emotion all over his face. Fox Sports had the camera zoomed right up in his grill the whole time that they had, you know, the moment of silence and everything before. It's just like, you don't need to do that. Like, just show the other guys on the field or something. You just don't need to. It was just so awkward that there was no, you know, panning away or different camera angles or anything like that. It was just wholly and solely on him. You could see he was trying to fight back the emotion and tears. Just let him be. Do you know what I mean? Like, they just did it. I felt that they didn't need to do that. That was so awkward and uncomfortable. That was horrible.
He's going to play this week too. So it's going to be very interesting to see how many minutes they're going to sort of give him. So, I don't know. I agree. If it's as bad, like, they've had separate neurologists talking to him and everything. If it's that bad, it's like what you said. It's just something you just don't mess with.
Well, in this, in this day and age, the way that they sort of, that concussion is a big issue in collision sports.
NFL. The NFL, the players are actually did some of them, like, really big time players, like, are retiring young because they don't want to have, they've seen what's happened. Was it Luke Keechee? Was it Keechee, the 29?
Oh, Luke Keechee this year. Yeah, Luke Keechee this year.
Yeah, there's a few of them, I think. Yeah, so... Oh,
the person that would have been smiling the most about that, and not to say that you're smiling, was Drew Brees. Like, I don't know what it was. He just had New Orleans and the offensive line's number. Like, it was unbelievable how often that you would see Luke Keechee break through the line and chasing Drew Brees around like he's a Springbok.
Yeah, you were smiling, that's why.
Yeah, it's right. He's just a lion that's got a growling stomach.
First Sunday game was the Raiders beating the Warriors 26-14.
I didn't really like the flow of that game.
Nah.
There were so many whistles. There were so many stoppages with HIAs. It just it sort of I think it just sort of took, it took the not so much the spectacle, but I think it just took the rhythm out of the game, if you know what I mean. Like, it just, I don't know, there was so many stoppages in it. Yeah, the Raiders lost George Williams in the seventh minute, and you thought, okay, here we go, this could be the opening for the Warriors. But once again, they didn't really look like they were going to trouble Canberra at all.
No, I don't think so. I mean, they looked at halftime, I thought, 16-14, they were looking okay. But yeah, it just didn't seem like no one was, and you shouldn't have to put it all on him, but Tuivasa-Sheck, which he didn't play a lot of minutes anyway, but there was no one like him that sort of stepped up at all. That's probably their problem the whole year, is they don't have any step up kind of players really at the end of the day.
Not really.
And that's, again, it's probably not their fault because they have a lot of players out. I mean, Peter Hicko, to me, has been their most consistent player all year.
He's
Peter
Hicko's pretty good. Roger didn't have the greatest start to the season. Like, RTS was pretty ordinary to start the season. The only reason I sort of know that and made a focus on that because I drafted him in fantasy and he was poo. So, took notice of that, and he sat on the bench for most of my season. As the last 6 weeks, he was back to the old RTS, but he's been hurt now, so he's not playing next week. Is it I don't know if it's a quad or a hamstring. So he's done for the season. So better look out next week. They could just be like just super demoralizing for the heartbeat of that team, sort of going down the tubes for them it could be anything next week for the Warriors. But they didn't look like they were going to trouble Canberra too much.
Mm-hmm.
There was too many stoppages in this game. The sin binning of Jack Whiten was, I don't think it was deserved. Near the end of that first half.
Yeah, I agree.
All I wanted the Warriors to do was not lose by 17 points because I had a line bet on them. So, and they come through with flying colours. So, good on the Warriors for helping me out. But it's just one of those funny games that they both teams, I think, did really well with the amount of guys that were hurt, due to head knocks and due to not failing their HIA to finish the game. And it'd be, once it got to the end of the game, it looked a little bit cleaner.
They have Manly next week, this week, I should say, too. So that'll be, that game could be anything. I'm looking at the... I'm looking at the line bet now, actually, just to see Manly's favourite. Which, I suppose you got to sort of see Manly, but
I mean,
the line's 2.5, so that's just cancel that out. So
as long as it's all right, as long as they didn't lose by 17 points, I was happy. 16.5 points, I thought was a lot.
Yeah,
and I thought that was a bit of a lock, but they sort of had me worried at the end there, but. They did well defensively in the last sort of 5 minutes to not let Canberra score again.
Final game was the Knights. I can't work out the Knights at all. But they beat the Dragons 42-18. Like, they just have these brilliant games and then they just don't.
Was that more of a St. George, St. George Illawarra team that was just diabolical? Like, there's no other word to describe what they were, like, the schoolboy errors that they made, kicks out on the full, kickoffs out on the full, dropping, the dropping of bombs. It just every error
possibly.
Under the sun. Kicking dead on the fifth tackle. Like, their fifth tackle options were just horrendous.
Yeah. I can see that point. I get what you're saying. I didn't want to take it away how, I guess, well Knights play. There's just no consistency. Like, they should, they win games that you don't think they're going to win, and then they win these games, but you think they're going to win, and then they play so well.
That's right.
I mean, they're gonna again. They'll finish top eight. They'll finish. They should finish to six. Like they. Well, I won't see the Rabbits or Sharks win. So they'll finish six. But I just it's hard to work out what they're going to be in the finals. That's my concern.
It'll be one of those teams that you probably don't want to see, because if they're on, then they're going to be they'll be a real tough out. But yeah, and they yeah that they could have one of those sort of grind them out wins, or they could just get belted and just not show up at all, which they've done a few times this year, especially against the quality sides.
Yeah, no, that's true. Sorry, Afidi stood out for me in that game. I mean, not that he just got the one try, but any play.
How crazy was that try, though? He was just sort of held up, and then he just sticks his big mid out and plants it, like, right next to the post. He's just like, that's the Dragons' day in a nutshell. That was unbelievable.
He played well. He only played 40 minutes. He's still young, too, so I don't know. I like him as a player.
Yeah, the Saifidi boys have been really good this year. I think that the hit off the bench with Jacob Saifidi, Daniel Saifidi starting. Obviously David Clemmer has been massive for them. You know, 95% of the year there's been the odd game where he hasn't been terrific, but he is just he is the heart and soul of that forward pack, and they all him and Saifidi, they ride him.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that was it for round 19. We'll move on to our studs and duds. We'll start with studs of the week, because I'm probably certain we're possibly going to be the same, but I could be completely wrong too.
Well, you know, if we had sort of pre-production meetings, then we could maybe discuss these things, but I like the element of surprise.
Yeah, I do too. I love the element of surprise. I just think we're going to pick the same person, but go ahead.
Well, it's sort of not so much a person for me. I thought the start of the week was Canterbury. To spring that on Souths and to not let it go. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, they've had games where they've sort of sprung it on teams, but have been run down in the end.
Yeah.
Pretty much what they did against Newcastle, might have been 6 or 7 weeks ago. They went to Newcastle. It was pissing down rain. The breeze was howling. And Newcastle were trying to play normal dry weather football, where Canterbury just held the ball and just belted it up the middle. And they gave Newcastle what for? Like, that's one of those games that Newcastle were just yuck. They pretty much did the same in this. Super high completion rate. And I think that's one of the, not the upset of the season, but that's one of the upsets of the year.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
just going on form. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, Canterbury haven't been great the last few weeks, and Souths have been really good.
Yeah, they have
the last 5 to 6 weeks.
Yeah,
and where people are talking up that they could be the only side in the bottom of the eight that could win the premiership, and then they dish up that, and you know, for Canterbury to not let that slip away, and for them to finally get off the bottom of the ladder. That's super.
Well, okay, we weren't the same, because for me, I actually finally watched him for full 80 minutes of a game was AJ Brimson. I just to see you've talked him up all the time, but I just wanted to see how dynamic he was. Plus the score was
just bobs up in the right spots. Like for a young guy, and. Yeah. You know, he can play in the halves as well. Like, obviously they don't really need him to play there, but he can fill in there if he needs to. But he's in the right position all the time. He's fast. He's got good footwork. Like, he stepped Trbojevic out of his boots in that game, and that's basically what hurt Trbojevic trying to reach out and grab him, and he landed and he's done some damage to his shoulder, and he just scorched him through the middle.
I agree. I wanted to watch it more because of how well they were playing, but then I started watching it more and just watching him, and I was just going, yeah, okay, now I know what you're seeing him. And I can't not see him being in the Maroon side. I just can't not seeing it. So
I just had a little bit of a sniff on the internet, and it does look like that Sammy and AJ Brimson are in the mix for Origin. I thought that Kyle Feld and Val Holmes had pulled out. They haven't. So, and Corey Oates is still there with Brisbane as well. So, not to say that, just sort of reading the article on Fox Sports is, Kyle Feld and Val Holmes have endured underwhelming seasons. The side has, but they both of them have showed flashes of brilliance, and Kyle Feld has capitalized on, on the likes of Clifford and Scott Drinkwater. When they're on and they're good. And I'm pretty sure that Kyle Feld is either second or third on the try scorers list behind North.
No, yeah, he's second. He was second.
Unbelievable.
So, which is amazing. Yeah, no, I agree.
In a terrible side this year, he still knows how to get across the stripe.
Exactly.
Well, he's a big target, and I think that could be really helpful for Queensland. Because if you've got guys that are putting pinpoint kicks onto that wing, if you've got Munster, you've got Cherry Evans, that's just another class above Drink. It's no disrespect to Drinkwater or Clifford, but if you've got guys like Munster and Cherry Evans that are going to be able to pinpoint accurate kick out to the wing, he is a massive weapon for Queensland.
So why do you reckon he's a contrarian next year? Just because he's not going to play?
No, that's what I mean. Like they haven't said that they're not ruled them out. So it could be a possibility of
the wing
pairing. Like Gagai will be one center, but the wing pairing could be Val Holmes and Kyle Feld.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, they're talking about Moses Suli, Philip Sammy, AJ Brimson.
True. Yeah,
it's
going to
be a rookie back line.
Oh, it's going to be a rookie
what
back
else,
line.
Tell me, what else are you meant to what do? I think of a few years ago, I got somebody like Adam Mogg. That was a good first grader, a fringe Origin player, and he was great for Queensland.
And go back, I don't know how long ago it was, but when there's every chance, like Queensland are getting everyone's saying 3-0 and all that. They said that last time when they had a no-name side and Paul Vorton was their coach, and they end up, smashing. Well,
that was 95, wasn't it? Pretty much the height of the Super League war.
Yeah, and they had no chance, but everyone ruled them off, and then they pulled it out. They won
3-0. They won 3-0, that's right.
It's going to come into the same sort of thing this year. Hopefully it doesn't happen.
Ben Eichen at 5'8", and like Jamie Goddard at that dummy R.
My stud of the week, which is not going to be great for you because it was your stud of the week, was the Bulldogs. Only because this came late, very late, into this week it came, that it's not the Bulldogs players and the Bulldogs team, but it was the Bulldogs hierarchy. They have already announced the A players that they're not signing for this year, which is absolutely ridiculous. They've still got a game to go.
Just wait until they. Can't they just hold their load for one more week?
You don't have to. I don't see a lot of teams. And this is what I can't. I don't know if Barris did this. A lot of teams don't go out of their way and say, "We wish these players to do well, in the future," kind of thing.
You do it
internally.
Could you please clear out your locker and piss off?
You do it internally and all that, but to have a statement to say we'd like to wish the A players all the best for the future and thanks for their contribution.
Aiden Tolman's one of them.
Yeah, that's...
That is ridiculous. I don't care if he's 31.
Oh, he'll be, yeah. Someone will pick him up. I think he'll go back to England now, but...
Don't say that. I don't want him to... I'd really like for him to come up here. Anyway.
Oh, I agree. I think.
Well, there's rumours that Josh Maguire wants to go back to Brisbane, and there's ties to him to Anthony Griffin and St George. But I'd like to keep even Josh Maguire here. But
you need a front rower. With Maguire there, you needed that all year. Yeah, he would be absolutely perfect. So I just don't. Yeah, you don't do it before the end of it. You don't do a statement for starters. And then secondly, you don't do it before the last game of the season. It was just ridiculous when I read that. Hated it. Like, I don't know who pulled. I mean, apparently there's all discontent in the boardroom anyway. That's a whole different thing. But, if I was Barrett coming in, I would have pulled the pin on that. It doesn't look good. to me.
No, that's I mean, that's the optics of that is it's, I mean, it's just it's unnecessary. That's all unnecessary. It is. Wait until the end of the season.
It's unnecessary, but yeah, out of all those sort of players, I mean, Foran we knew was going because they signed Blake Green, which unfortunately we don't know what's going to happen with all that. But Aidan Tolman was a huge standout, and even Kerrod Holland and Tim Lafay as well. They
Kerrod Holland's apparently going to go back on the tools and go back up to Newcastle, so he's essentially giving the game away. So
yeah.
Yeah, he's going to go and finish off. I can't remember his electrical apprenticeship or something. So he's going back on the tools and moving back up to Newcastle.
Not a bad idea the way like COVID goes, you know. And if he's not guaranteed money, like a lot of these players aren't. So it's not a bad idea to get a trade back. So that's
half after football.
That's pretty admirable. Did you have a dud of the week before we finish up?
Yeah, look, the dud of the week, and it's you know it's my beloved Gold Coast. Just when you think Jai Arrow's hair couldn't get any freaking worse, and then he runs out with that bird's nest on the back of his head, like, good God.
That's a dud of the week.
Somebody needs to do like they did in the Jackass movie where they make the Jaws movies, and they used to come up behind people and go zzz with the clippers. Somebody should just do that in the back of his head.
Yeah, that was Jackass, yeah. Right. He's already shaved it off, hey.
Just get out of the gun. Just go to Souths already. Just go away.
Yeah, well, I was reading a couple of articles when that haircut's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, there's not much to say about it. That's just
just when you think it couldn't get any worse. Just go to Souths and just go away. You know, with some of the signings that the Gold Coast have made, boy, I hope he regrets going to Souths.
Well, that was an article that just came out today, actually, where he said Titans will be good, but he has to say this. He has no regrets going to South. So I find that funny. So your dud of the week is my start of the week, well, team-wise, and my start of the week is your dud of the week. It's just that's hilarious. So
idiot, what a surprise.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, that's a terrible haircut. I don't know. People want to have mullets, that's fine. I think they're the worst things ever. I've never liked them.
They're pretty ordinary. Oh, this day and age, like, you know, I think, you know, in the 80s and early 90s, I think, I'll have a look at Warney. You know, when he first sort of broke into the Australian side, he had a magical mullet. And, you know, you look at guys like Mark Waugh and, you know, they had a bit of some flowing locks out the back there as well, but it's just
different sort of. Yeah, that's right.
It's a different time. Like nowadays, you're just like, oh, really? Like that's just, yeah, it's an ordinary look.
It's a very ordinary look. Yeah, that'll do it for NRL week, round 19. Like I said at the top of the pod, we'll have NFL week one and week two, and then we'll also cover the second round, if you want to call it, of the NBA final series, semifinals. And you'll get that all this week.
What do you think about the few little rule tweaks that the NRL is going to be implementing this week in
a couple of the
games?
Funny you mention that, because I specifically screenshotted that for a reason.
So did I, actually.
And I circled one, which I just – the one biggest one that I circled was nominated forwards only to pack in scrums.
Ridiculous.
How do you –
as if the referee hasn't got enough crap to deal with, and now he's got to start – looking at the scrum and going, oh, well, who's the nominated forward for here? Oh, better go. He's going to have like a play calling sheet like quarterbacks do in the NFL. He's going to have to lift it up and go, oh, right, are you.
He'll go off numbers.
Oh, hang on, no, you're not a nominated forward. Get out. Like that's
he'll go off numbers. He'll go off numbers. So I get that, but so what happens, you know, you have, it just doesn't make sense. What happens, you have three injuries to forwards and a back of the play forward. What if, it doesn't even make sense. It's not like it's advantage either way. I don't see any advantage of doing that at all.
I still like the scrums and why they're trying to make a tweak to that. You know, the tweak that they made this year where you could take the scrum 10, 20, or, you know, 10 out, 20 out, or in the middle of the field. I think that's a brilliant move. because
yeah, that's great.
It's why try and change it? Because it's like they sort of talked about. I'm pretty sure it was on NRL 360 last night, where yeah, you could nominate whoever you want. You can nominate a fullback if you want to pack in the scrum. It's just
that's right.
But it's which, just
but that, it, I get that. But that's what I'm saying. You may as well nominate 1-17 because you don't know what's going to happen during the game. That's why no. I can't work it out.
It's just the overloading that you're doing to the referee. He just doesn't need to be concerned with, oh, wow, like, you know, this, he's not a nominated forward to be packing into the scrum. You need to be out and put a forward in. Like, you don't need that.
Are you saying that they're doing it to get like the scrum back to, you know, the old days, or just
I don't think there's going to be any sort of contest or anything like that, but I think they're just trying to stop, you know, them, like, you know, just say for the Cowboys for argument's sake, putting Tamalolo out at 5'8", you know, one off the scrum, but it doesn't matter.
That's happening.
All you've got to do is as a defensive side and go, well, I'm just going to have a forward that's going to mark up on that side.
In every game of football I've played, it just doesn't make sense. And then it's kind of contradictory to the other rule of there's four rules, but the other rule of the you know, handover for kicks in the touch rather than the scrum. If scrum's going to be so important, I guess, then you're basically ruling them out by handing the
that's
ball
right,
over.
That's right, it's just a straight handover. But the scrum takes 6/7 people out of, and you can put. Yeah, you know, it makes for attacking football, like so.
And that's all these rules.
Just going back to 13-on-13 as an essential changeover rather than packing down of the scrum. It just those two rules, they're just stupid. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like honestly,
all the four rules that they're including, to me, it just builds around they want to speed the play up more, like use of the six
more?
Again rule.
Are you serious? Like we've already had, you know, a plethora of injuries this year. You want a faster game? Like just stop it.
Use
just
of six again stop. Rule in the 10-meter infringement.
That's what, like, just stop it right.
That's a weird one. Handover for kicks, I've already mentioned. Nominated forwards, or change in the bunker referral process to reduce stoppages, so it makes it quicker.
Yeah.
If they're going to do that, then they're going to have to, instead of having 1-17, they're going to have to do what the NFL does. Well, not that many, but like probably have an extended bench, like 20.
They're going to have to.
20
because
players.
Because with the way that players are going down injured, and then if, you know, say in the instance of foul play, somebody gets hurt or they fail a HIA, then they're disadvantaged by foul play. So they've talked about it. I don't know if they did it last year, as I think they might have talked about it last year, as a, you know, as an 18th man or a 19th man that can come in that instance and you're not disadvantaged. So your name is 17, and then you have your, you know, your, it's like, I guess, an emergency, you know, if anything of that, it comes, especially when it comes to foul play, because it happens. It doesn't happen a lot, but there's going to be the instances where, yeah, you know, once we're coming into finals and things like that, you know, games are going to get a little bit more intense. So it's the possibility that it could happen. But they're going to have to do something, because it's just you just can't keep speeding up the game. Yeah. up the game. Like it's just
you need more reserves. That's the only way it could work, is having
more
reserves.
But then they want to talk about reducing the interchange. You simply cannot do it, because it's going to create more injuries. And because people under fatigue make poor mistakes, and it's going to create more mistakes. But once again, fatigue, you have bad decisions. So you know there's going to be more. It's going to be it's bad teams are not going to be able to compete with good teams. Like the discrepancy between good and bad is going to be accentuated by this even further. And, you know, they flapped on about it with it again on NRL 360 last night. That's on the clubs, you know. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Like, this doesn't need to happen. Like, you know, the free-flowing football was pretty good. It just leave it the way it is.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's fine. It's fine the way it is, purely because of all the injuries that have happened this year. So it's don't break, don't fix. It's not broke, don't fix it. I agree with you.
You really need to get a better stand for that microphone.
No, that was the laptop. That was me this time. That was not, that was me. that was not the stand. This is the best it's ever sitting. So don't ever go at the stand. It's my start of the week. don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter's at Final Play Pod. Give us a like. Give us a share. Shares are always good because then it creates more people to like it. We're also obviously on Gimco, gimco.com.au. It's literally just, as it says, G-I-M-K-O. I'm getting it right. G-I-M-C. G-I-M-K-O. Gimco, as it says. That's why I shouldn't spell it like with a C. I have no idea why I keep spelling it with a C, but if you're listening on there. But, yeah, anywhere we get the pods, if you could do like a like or a share, it'll come up instantaneously as I'm finding it on the page. So don't forget
to like it. Check us out on Spotify. Give us a follow on Spotify as well. If you search the Final Play Podcast, we're a long way down the bottom, but if it doesn't instantly come up at the top of the search, but yeah, just sort of scroll through, and if you click on that and give us a follow, then the latest episodes just sort of instantaneously pop up for you to listen to. So, but we're getting out there on social media, so we'll
and
share.
I'm gonna do a Chuck guarantee that I'm gonna have Apple done and ready by the end of this year. Chuck guarantee.
Christmas is coming, so
Charles Barkley.
Guarantee. plenty of parking.
You only want to laugh just at anything. Just go on YouTube and just type in inside the NBA bloopers or anything, or Chuck going off or talking about
Charles
San Antonio.
Barkley, just put inside the NBA, Charles Barkley, Phoenix Suns. Like just him just paying the absolute piss out of the Phoenix Suns a couple of years ago.
San Antonio women as well.
True.
That's another one. So just throw that one out there, but yeah, it's very, very funny. All right, I won't say it on here because it's not nice, but it's funny. It's funny because he can get away with it.
That's right. Yeah, it's Charles Barkley. You can get away with anything.
Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.